I'd like to welcome everyone back for our second session. This morning we'll hear Jerry Pence, who will be speaking on faithful elders shining the light of Christ upon the flock. Also, to let you know, there's also a class that will be done by Leslie Smith, Deacons Shine the Light of Christ by Hard Work, and that will be in the fellowship room in room 12. Known Jerry for a number of years. Wonderful preacher, wonderful man of God. It says, Brother Pence is married to his high school sweetheart. Does your wife know that?
No.
Okay, good. Again, we love the work that Jerry has done in this area. We know Jerry, a fine man of God. Thank you, Jerry, and please preach to us.
First time I've been in the building since then. Little changes made, right? It's great to be back. There's another bald-headed fellow back there I haven't seen in a while. It's good to see him too. So I like to see those shining heads. It tells me that I'm among people of my own age. I do bring you greetings from the South Stokes Church of Christ in King, North Carolina. Just in case you don't know where that is, I can stand in the church parking lot and see Pilot Mountain. And we are in a beautiful, beautiful little area there right north of Winston-Salem. And God has blessed us. The congregation has grown immensely over the last 5 years. And I'm just having too good a time to quit. That's just all there is to it. And we're just having a great time there. But we are so glad to be here today. I want to thank Nathan and the elders for inviting me to speak this morning and to share with you a message concerning faithful elders shining the light of Christ upon the church. I probably am uniquely qualified. Now, you notice I used the word uniquely qualified to speak on this subject. And what I mean by that is I have served as an elder for about 16 years in two different congregations. And I've been preaching for about 40-some years, last 8 years full-time. But what makes it maybe somewhat unique for me is that my great-grandfather, my grandfather and my father were all elders in the church before I was. So I, no doubt, was raised in a godly family. And I have seen the struggles that elders go through. I've also seen the joys. I've seen the sadness. And so I knew what I was getting into, which I think a lot of people do not when they come into the fact of becoming elders. I've experienced a lot of those things and seen those things take place. Now, make no mistake, just because that I served as an elder for 16 years, and just because that I have a good heritage in dealing with the church, that does not mean that I was a perfect elder. Maybe, and probably, there are some even sitting here today that will verify the point that I was not, maybe, always the elder that I should have been. But I found out that the same things that caused me to maybe not be as a strong elder as I should have been were the same criteria for being a better husband, a better father, a better Christian, and a better preacher. When we started talking about faithful elders and faithful elders shining the light of Christ upon the church, there are so many different ways. You know, sometimes you can have a subject that you are think you're so familiar with, you think, how can I present this in a way that's maybe different? How can you present it in a way where everybody can appreciate the richness of it and not just the facts? Now, doctrine is good, don't get me wrong. But sometimes it's how that material is presented to try to get people to understand about this something that I believe is as important as anything else that we may do. You're talking about shining the light of Christ upon the flock or upon the church. When it comes to elders, an elder serving that role, they can either be the brightest light or they can be the darkest cloud. But I want to talk about being bright. Now, let's start with something that's very simple, very obvious. And the point is faithful elders shine the light of Christ upon the flock by being qualified to serve. Now, I'm not going to go through individually every one of the qualifications for elders and Titus and Timothy, but I am going to group those together to make a couple of points about faithful elders shining the light of Christ upon the flock. Brother Steve Higginbotham, who's a good friend of mine and many of you that are sitting here as well, Steve has categorized, and he may have got it from somewhere else, I don't know, and maybe you've seen it, but he's categorized the qualifications for elders in four categories. What's really interesting about this is the first category is the only category that is commanded of elders that's not commanded of by the rest of the, not commanded to the rest of the congregation. That first category is called experience. How can one be a faithful elder of shining the light of Christ upon the flock without being truly qualified? God knew from the very beginning of what it took to be qualified. And for an individual to be qualified, meeting God's characteristics was a key point. No doubt that has to have something to do with being able to shine the light. But the first one is experience. Isn't it interesting that the first four items that fall in that first category have to do with parenting for the most part? Parenting. Being an elder is much like being a parent, because when you're an elder in a congregation, I guarantee you, you're dealing with the mature and the immature. You're dealing with the old and you're dealing with the young. You're dealing with those that are in those younger, frisky years that think they're much older than they are. And then you've got those that are a little bit older that think they're younger than they are. I don't know why that works that way. So there is no doubt when you look at this point of experience, the husband of one wife, a man who can stay with his wife, that one woman, and work through the issues of marriage, has got to be an individual. It's got to be a qualifying factor to be able to shine that light. As a man loves his wife and cares for his wife, just as Jesus is the head of the church, that the man is the head of the wife, that relationship works the way that God wants it to work, very much the same. The husband of one wife. And then it talks about also in this area of experience, children in subjection. Would you want an elder over the congregation that hasn't have believing children? Now, I'm not going to get into the fact. I've got my opinion over whether or not if you have three children, all three children have to be baptized, or can you only have one? There are congregations, though, that will, as soon as somebody has a child baptized, that all of a sudden they're ready, they're qualified to be an elder. I don't think that's the intent of what God intended here. The intent was that when that child is baptized, that then you go through that training years, through the teen years, and you learn how to deal with that individual, that child, and he grows. So you're looking at God's intent of the word of shining the light of Christ upon the church. Husband of one wife, faithful children, an individual who has those children in subjection, they're not rioting or unruly. A child, an elder then, that is not a novice. Now, those categorizations there are those things that members may or may not be. Obviously, a woman cannot be the husband of one wife. But so as you look at this, we look at those first four ideas, and this experience factor, it's a qualification. Those are qualifications for an elder to be able to do the things, to know how to shine the light and where to shine the light. The second category is that of reputation. Do you want an elder that doesn't have the reputation that would bring, you don't want to bring reproach upon the church, that's blameless inside the church, has good testimony outside the church, to be able to shine the light of Christ upon the church? Is there any doubt that they need to have a good reputation? Not only among the brethren, who are you going to follow? You're going to follow after the individual, the elder, who provides you that leadership that you trust. And you've seen their behavior. You've seen the way they walk. You've seen the way they talk. You know who they are. An elder and his wife and his family live in a glass house on a hill. And the doors are open. Everywhere you go, everything you say, and you've got to be so careful. This is true about preachers as well. It's probably true about all of us. I'd like to know how many times I've had individuals say, "But you said, wait a minute here. What was the context of what I said?" Let me give you one other example. When we look at this thing about reputation, we just don't know. This is true about elders, but it's true about everybody. Not too long ago, it has been several years now, another fellow and I went to bring a table. We had bought a table or got this table, and we were supposed to meet this guy at this warehouse. Well, we were supposed to be there at 10 o'clock. We got there at 10, at 10, 5, 10, 5, 10, 10, 10, 15, didn't show up, so I called him. The other fellow's sitting in the truck with me, and we're waiting to pick that up, and the fellow said, oh, I'll be right there. I'm so sorry, I forgot I'll be right there. Are you there yet? And I said, almost. And we were sitting in the church parking lot at the time. Now, the reason why I said almost was, is I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I didn't want him driving too fast and getting there, having a wreck. But obviously, I lied. I didn't tell the truth. The fellow with me, who I didn't know all of that well, turns to me after I hung up the phone, and he said, how come you to lie to him? I said, sir, what's this? This was a brother. He said, you told him that you were almost there. If a man will lie about one thing, he'll lie about something else. Now, I've thought about that a lot. When you look at reputation, you never know how the finest of item, the most, I don't know, detail about something that you may say or do, how it's going to affect anyone. When you are an elder shining the light of Christ upon the church, you've got to be very, very careful in everything you say and do. You don't know how it's going to affect others. Same thing's true about all Christians. But in this area of reputation, blameless inside the church and a good testimony outside the church. Third category, the ability. What are you looking for in an elder when you're looking for the ability of an elder? Obviously, the first thing is the ability to teach. Does that mean that every elder has to be able to stand in the pulpit? I think you ought to stagger up there once in a while. And he may stagger and fall down the steps, but he needs to get up there and let people know that he knows God's word and that they're able to follow him, willing to follow him. He needs to be able to sit down at least and convict the gainsayer. He needs to be able to sit down and know God's word and teach that individual one-on-one. If you're going to shine the light of Christ upon the church as an elder, you've got to teach God's word. You've got to be willing to know and to do and exhort others in that doctrine. You've got to. How are you going to know if the preacher is talking and saying the right things if you don't know God's word and the congregation is trusting you to guide them? Now, congregation, be careful. Don't put all your faith in the elders. Put it in God's word. Everybody needs a checkpoint, even our president, even the Congress, even the judges that are making some really important decisions right now. Everybody needs a checkpoint, and the elders need that checkpoint as well. Able to teach, able to exhort sound doctrine, able to convict the gainsayer. Fourth area, this is a much bigger, broader area. And it overlaps, I think, with the others, and that's of character. Now, the four main areas, I'll say it one more time, is experience, reputation, ability, and character. What is the character of this individual? The character to be able to shine the light of Christ upon the church, a temperate patience. Now, I've got to admit, maybe that's an area that I wasn't as effective in as I should be, which brings up a point. Which of the characteristics, how many of the characteristics does an elder have to have? Is it, I mean, let's say there's 26. I don't know how many characteristics are qualifications for an elder. 26, 27, 28, depends how you read it. So if there are that many, does a man to be effective or to be an elder, to be qualified to be an elder, does he have to have 24 out of 28? Does he have to have 26 out of 28? 27 out of 28? But he's a good man, got a lot of money. People look up to him. Got broad shoulders, near at the hip, like Big John. I always think about whenever God appointed Saul as king. Oh, he stood head and shoulder. He looked good. And that's why God chose Saul. If you look at the history of Saul as a king, that man was a terrible, terrible king. Had all kinds of problems, had all kinds of issues. But he looked good. He stood head and shoulders above everybody. You can't choose an elder because they look good. Okay? I don't think that's the problem here at Cary. I've seen some of those guys. Sorry. I do digress. Okay. Temperate, patient, being sober-minded, having a good mind, a good behavior, hospitable, not given to wine, alcohol of any type. And you can go ahead and look at what the deacon says about deacon in that same area too. But do you want elders leading the congregation who would, even in their own homes, if you knew publicly that they were consuming alcohol, do you want your teenagers to go to them and say, you know, I did see a bottle outside. Is that yours? Is it okay to have just a little drink? You see, when you shine the light of Christ upon the church, you've got to meet all of these qualifications, every one of them. And you've got to be so careful about your life, because this is a tough, tough decision. It's probably the most responsible position that any man could ever have upon this earth. It has the greatest challenges of any position that anyone can ever hold. Not violent, not greedy, gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, a lover of good, just, holy, and self-controlled. Why are all these qualifications important? Well, I'm going to tell you like I tell my children used to, and they'd say, "Why, Daddy?" Because I said so. There's too much of this explaining to kids anymore about what's right and what's wrong and why they got to do what you tell them to. You got to do it because you're going to live if you do it. Now, I don't mean to be abusive. Don't get me wrong here. It's either right or it's wrong. Now, where is it coming from? Why are all of these qualifications important? And if a man misses one of them, he's not qualified to shine the light of Christ upon the church. Not one. Because God said so. God knew the qualifications for a man to be able to shine the light of Christ upon the church, upon the flock. He knew what it was. You tell me which one that's going to, well, we can get by with this one. Or he'll grow into being qualified. Or he'll change. Oh, yeah, he'll change, all right. That kind of reminds me, thinks of me about a woman that marries a man and she says, "I'm going to change him." Ladies, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and testify, but did that happen for you? He changed, but it probably wasn't what you had in mind. For a man to change, to be qualified to serve as an elder, is unscriptural. Sadly, there are too many congregations that have unqualified elders or no elders at all. We at South Stokes do not have elders right now. But you know, when I was a boy growing up in a little town called Summit, Kentucky, Big Clifty, we had elders. I can't ever remember that little congregation of 30 people never having elders. And the men that were there, as I look back, were qualified to serve as an elder. And right down the road, there was another big congregation, about 30, Big Clifty. And then there was Little Clifty, a little farther on across railroad tracks. They were all, and they all had elders. And there was Clarkson, 15 miles on down, New Hope, and every one of them had elders. Why is it that we have so many today that don't have elders or don't have qualified elders? Because we've become more like the world. That's the reason why when we look at elders shining the light of Christ upon the church, that qualifications become so important. You know, I'm afraid that many congregations select elders much like people go to Home Depot and buy 2x4s. You ever see people do this? You know, I do it too. I'll give one of them out and I'll pick up a 2x4 and I'll look at it. You know, and I'll take this one. Get another and I'll look at it. Don't want that one. And I look, some guy on the other end there, he's looking at 2x4s, and he picks up the same one, did the same thing I did, and he puts it in his truck. If we choose elders because an individual, I like the way it looks, and he shapes up just right for me, and this one shapes up just right for me, we got a problem. The qualifier is, what does God want? Those will be the elders that shine the light of Christ upon the church. The ones that God wants by using those qualifications. We take these qualifications sometimes and we try to stretch them out so thin that we try to make it that no man can serve as an elder, and yet some will choose anything. Let's let God's Word speak and use God's Word, what it says, and let it stand for itself. Well, let me make one more statement about this, and we got to move on to point two. Men not qualified to serve as elders will never shine the light of Christ upon the church as elders. Never. Now, point number two. Faithful elders shine the light of Christ upon the flock by taking heed to themselves and to the flock. In Acts chapter 20, Paul said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." This is for the elders at Miletus on his last trip back after the third missionary tour. He's on his way back home. He knows he's never going to see those elders again. And he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." The first thing he said was, "Take heed to yourself. Pay attention to who you are. Are you holding fast to God's word? Are you seeking to do God's will, or are you seeking to do your will? Are you committed to serving as an elder for the right reasons? Are you regularly examining yourself?" Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. That's true for all of us. But examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? And a reprobate is an elder thinking about what impact that individual can have over a congregation if they're truly doing it for all the wrong reasons. Elders need to evaluate themselves regularly and with each other. You need to talk about who you are as elders. Are we in God's Word individually? Are we working together in unity? Are we doing things this is the way God wants it? Are we doing it because we want to start pounding on our chest? You all, many of you have heard this quote before, but James Garfield, the 20th president of the United States, was an elder. And when he resigned the highest office in the land to become president, he said, "I have resigned the highest office in the land to become president of the United States." There is no position with greater responsibility, rewards, or consequences. So not only take heed of yourself as elders, but take heed of the flock. What does that mean? Pay attention. Don't come in with blinders on. I mean, I was raised on a farm. You know, if you don't know anything, blinders are put on horses so when you use them to plow down the furrows, they wouldn't get scared by something along the way to look straight ahead. Don't put blinders on and all you can see down the middle of the aisle. If I'm looking with blinders on, I can't see anybody back this way. An elder needs to be having eyes in the back of his head. That's why there's always more than one elder. You all stand back to back and you can see everything. But you've got to see the pulpit, the classes, bulletin boards. You see a bulletin board out in the hallway out there somewhere and say, "God created the world in 7 days. Whoa. Now, I'm not saying you all go running out to them, yank that stuff off the bus. That's not what I'm talking about. We'll talk about the love and gentle part in a minute. But what that just taught was what? Error. Pay attention. Tracks are laid out on the table. There shouldn't be a track passed through this building. I don't care who wrote the track. That the elders are not reviewing and knowing what's in that track. Every one of them. We need to understand about the worship services. Who is serving? Who's qualified to be serving? Who's qualified to be leading prayer? Now, we need to develop. We'll talk about that in a minute as well. But we need to be able to see what's going on with the fellowship groups. We need to see what's happening with the deacons, with the youth, the young adults, the singles, the gracefully aged. I coined that word myself since I've reached that point. I like gracefully aged. I like that. That's a good one. Okay. Get her done. All right. Young adults, singles, gracefully aged, absentees, visitors, new members, new Christians. You got to see it all. Eyes looking and noticing and feeling and sensing the sensitivity, not to come out to crush things like a bug, but to be aware, to encourage when it's right, and to discourage and to change when it's incorrect. Why do we need to take heed? Well, Paul gives us that answer as well. He said, "Because grievous wolves will enter in among you and not sparing the flock." How many bad apples in the barrel does it take to cause the rest of the apples to rot? One person starts off by talking to somebody over in the corner here about the preacher. and he talks to somebody else, and you see the little things going on, or start talking about, do you see what the elders did this time? When the elder gets heed of that, if this is going on, what should he do? Should he ignore it? No. I understand you have an issue. Let's talk. You've got to be ready to confront them. To shine the light of Christ upon the church is to take heed of everything that goes on around about you. The sensitivity of being able to touch, feel, hear, smell. I can walk into a congregation, and I bet you can do the same thing, and many of you other preachers can too. I can walk into a congregation, and in 5 minutes, I don't have to touch a thing, and I can tell you whether that congregation is liberal or not. You can smell it. Am I right? You don't have to pick up a thing, do you, brother? You have to look at anything. But you can feel. You know. Pick up just a couple of tracks. Walk by and see what kind of Bibles they have, pew Bibles. Kind of look at the tracks. Who are the authors of those tracks? Sense, feel. An effective elder, a faithful elder, will shine the light of Christ upon the church when they see those things and they take care of those things. And most of the time, the congregation will never know what they do. That's the way it should be. Grievous wolves enter in among you, sparing the flock. And also, watch this. Now remember, he's talking to elders here. Paul said, and of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember. You have to be cautious when words are said and things are said, that when as elders that you talk to each other, I noticed you said such and such. Let's talk about that. Is that what you meant to say? Faithful elders shine the light of Christ upon the church, upon the flock. Paul said, therefore, watch and remember that in the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. I've been told sometimes that I push too hard. I've been told sometimes I'm probably too rigid. Now, I think you think it's got to be done in love, and maybe I have. I have grown physically, but I think I've grown spiritually. I probably have grown more in the 5 years I've been up in King, North Carolina, than I have my entire life as a Christian. I really have. Part of it has to do with age, though. Age forces us to move a little slower, doesn't it, Brother Atkins? Just a little bit. Maybe stop and think when we stick our foot in our mouth. Well, we have to warn. We have to pay attention to those things and warn people day and night. Be alert. Not many years ago, there was a congregation that a preacher that has been known for years. I'll put it this way. You've seen that commercial where this it has something. I don't know what it is, some kind of medicine, but they walk. They're walking sideways. You've seen that on TV. They'll walk like. Well, I guarantee you, this one preacher has leaned left all of his life. And so there was material that was being laid out. And so when we look at this about understanding and taking heed that was laid, and so I started reading it, and, well, it caused a lot of problems when I brought that up. I was being too narrow-minded. Can you ever be narrow-minded when truth is not being taught? You can't, can you? Well, let's move on. Why I take heed? Because as elders, you shine the light of Christ upon the church, upon the flock, when you pay attention to what's going on around about you, to care for the flock. Point number three, faithful elders shine the light of Christ upon the church by not only taking heed, but by feeding the flock. You remember the old Chinese proverb, which is, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, but you teach a man to fish and you feed him for life. Well, as the elders are taking heed of what's going on around about them, then what we've also got to do as elders is we've got to be able to feed the flock whereby they take heed themselves. They can't take heed and be aware of what's going on around about them unless they are sound in God's Word. They're growing deeper and stronger every day in the truth. And that's so essential. Acts 20:28, Paul said, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. It's his church. It's not our church as elders. It's not our church as preachers. In congregations where there are no elders, And I've told young men in preaching schools and every place else I get the chance, congregations, if you're doing a decent job, will do everything to push you up on a pedestal to make you a pastor. They'll push you up there if you allow it. They feed your ego. They tell you things like, that was a great sermon. Yeah, it was, wasn't it? And then they'll come to you and they'll want you to maybe to do something special or ask your permission to do it. And since you told them before, they told you you did such a great job, you give them approval as the preacher. That doesn't mean a hill of beans. And all of a sudden you're putting yourself in the position of being an elder. A elder. A pastor. The point is that when you're feeding, you're teaching them, but you are not, as a preacher, you are not the pastor or an elder. You have to function in a little bit different manner, but you've got to be careful. But feeding. 1 Peter 5:2, Peter said, feed the flock of God which is among you. Sound preaching, sound classroom teaching, one-on-one Bible study, gospel meetings, lectures, VBS, Ladies' Day, Men's Fellowship, Youth Rallies, Senior Rallies. Who are your speakers? People will give you all kinds of names about, oh, this person is great. And you say, yeah, go ahead and get them. Bring them. That sounds good. Yeah, that's fine. Check it out. Feed the flock, but feed, make sure it's good, wholesome food. What was it that Jesus said about, would you feed a child a rock? You know, you wouldn't feed him a rock, would you? Well, as an elders, you're careful. You're watching for the snakes, you're watching for the rocks, and you're going to feed that child, feed the children of God properly. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. Paul is talking to this young preacher, Timothy. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. Why? Why? Listen to the why of this. We often talk about that, but if you get the why does that need to be done? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And sound doctrine to unsound doctrine doesn't go from here to here. Sound doctrine to unsound doctrine goes from here to here. Might even come back. Next time it takes two steps. That's the way children do it. When I was a boy growing up, I think it was a junior in high school, my dad told me that I need to be home at 11:30. And I was dating this sweet little thing until my childhood, my high school sweetheart, marrying her. Finally, she did ask me to marry, and I couldn't say no, you know. Don't you all tell her, know that. But anyway, I kept stretching that out, you know, being home at 11:30 to 11:30, 11:35, you know, 11:50, 12 o'clock. My dad's meant a few words. Didn't have to say much. That next Sunday morning, sitting at the breakfast table, some of you heard me tell the story before. He held out his hand. Never said a word. What do you want? Keys. I reached in my pocket. I dropped the keys right in the palm of his hand, and I never said a word. He said, you understand? I said, yep. Went 2 weeks. I never asked about the keys or anything. That Sunday morning, sitting there, he said, hold out your hand. He dropped it in my hand. He said, you understand? I said, yes, sir. That was the entire counseling sessions, two counseling sessions, and that was the total conversation both times. So when you're talking about feeding and understanding along the way, there's times when you feed and people start slipping away from that because you've got to bring them back to truth. You've got to be grounded in that truth. Right? Well, not only in that passage, but just a couple more, and I need to move on. I don't know what my time is here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable doctrine for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why, Paul? Why? Because the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished in every good work. And this is not just true for preachers. It's true for every individual in the congregation. And elders have got to see that that's done. That's how they shine the light of Christ upon the flock. Acts 17, Bereans, you know, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why were they more noble? Why might the church at Cary or Rocky Mount or any other, why might they be more noble than anyone else or any other congregation? Not that we compare those things, but don't you think God sees? Why might they be more noble? Well, the answer is very clearly, it's wise in that they received the word with all readiness of mind.
and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Oh, isn't that what it's about? Point number four. Faithful elders shine the light of Christ upon the flock by taking oversight with a loving, gentle heart. Well, 1 Peter 5 says, take oversight there not by constraint, but willingly. 1 Timothy chapter 3 talks about how that we need to desire the office, to desire for the right reasons to serve, to desire to want God's Word to grow, for children to grow, to evangelize, to spread the truth. And that should be the goal of being able to do that. We must serve with the right mind. We know in Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 38, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, for this is the first and greatest commandment. We need to be able to love. We need to be able to do it gently and lovingly and to care. Elders, to shine the light of Christ upon the church, must do it with his loving and gentle heart. Not serving for personal gain, personal agendas. It's very easy to get there if we're not careful. If not an elder, who should be following this pattern? 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is what? Love. You can meet all the other qualifications, but if you're not showing the love as an elder, you're not going to be effective. Must serve as the chief shepherd served. I believe we can use this as an analogy. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, he that entereth by the door is the shepherd. Now, what does the shepherd do for the flock? And the flock is the church. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep, listen to this, and the sheep hear his voice. When an elder speaks, it should be that he has been shining the light upon the church, that when he speaks, they want to listen intently about what he is saying. Then it goes on to say, and he calleth his own sheep by name. That means the elders need to know every member in the congregation. They need to know who they are. You remember Sam Walton? Of course, Walmart. It was said that before he died, he had 600-some stores at that time, 650. He knew the name of every manager in every store and their wife and the name of their kids, every one of them. That's the way the elders need to be. It may take some work, but you got to know who you are. You got to know who your flock is. They got to hear your voice, and you have to know their needs. You have to be able to understand when it says, and they calleth his own sheep a name, and what? And leads them out. Now, what do you mean by lead? Do you take a chain? Can you push a chain? You can't push a chain, can you? The only way you can do it is that you pull it, and they're behind you. You're out front. They're watching for you. You've got that behind you. They're willing to follow. If I told everybody in here, I'll tell you what, 2 weeks from today, I've got a ticket to Hawaii for every one of you. Every one of you, free. A week, I'm going to pay for the ticket, the hotels, the rental cars, and all expenses paid for a week. I'll guarantee that most of you would find a way to go. Now, my second option is, I also have a friend who's a dentist. And he's giving away free root canals 2 weeks from today. Follow me! You see, it makes no difference as an elder when you speak whatever it is that you speak. The flock should be willing to follow if you're what? Shining the light of Christ upon the flock. Because you're looking for nothing but for their best. Shepherds are to know the flock, lead the flock, serve as examples to the flock, and take heed of themselves of the flock. Thus, the light of Christ has shined upon the flock. Let me say one thing, and I don't know where the folks with preaching schools, this is your position or not, but I know there's one particular preaching school that's out of state that has said this, or has. Maybe they've changed their philosophy. Young preachers will often come in, and I've heard it as we've interviewed preachers before as an elder. They would say, you're hiring me, you're not hiring my wife. Wrong. When you hire a preacher, you're hiring his wife and the kids. I could not be half the preacher that I am today without my wife doing the things that she does for the congregation at South Stokes in King, North Carolina. And we even find a list of qualification for elders' wives in there as well when we look in the scriptures in 1 Timothy. So you do hire a preacher and you hire a wife. It's the same thing. I mean, the same thing is true for elders. I remember in one situation many years ago where I was worshiping up one particular place. This man was as good a man as he could be. He knew God's word. He could teach. He was sound. But the congregation decided they didn't want him to serve as an elder because of his wife. Let me tell you, there's times as elders, and you elders that have been there know what I'm talking about. You leave a meeting and you say, we're not going to say anything about this to anybody, not even our wives. That's the way it's supposed to be. But there's times you've got to have somebody to talk to. You just don't know. I've laid awake, tears rolling down my cheeks, crying in the middle of the night, knowing what was getting ready to take place. There ain't nothing hurts any worse than having children of God that are losing their souls, and you're going to have to take action against that. Their behavior has caused it so, and sometimes you just got to talk to somebody. And who's closer to you than your wife? Along that same line, there have been many congregations have had troubles because the wives couldn't keep their mouth shut. This is a crucial arrangement. It really is. But this loving, gentle relationship within the church, there's so much more that impacts this. John chapter 10, I'm sorry, let me go on to the next point. I'll finish up here. Time to close. Faithful elders shine the light of Christ upon the flock by developing and utilizing talents. You remember over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 12 through 27, Paul talks about there, of course, they were having problems in chapter 12. Everybody wanted to speak in tongues, and, you know, they wanted those fancy gifts, you know, the ones that looked really good, be really cool with it. The wisdom thing didn't turn them on much, but boy, they wanted to talk in tongues because everybody could see them do it. Paul goes on there in that chapter and down by verse 12, and he starts talking about that every member of the congregation is needed. You got ears, you got eyes, you got noses, you got feet. You got all of those pieces that make up the body. Same thing is true in the church. The elders, when they look and understand and utilizing talents, as they take heed of the congregation, every individual, what are you doing? How are you helping as individuals as they talk to those members of the body and helping them to grow? For many years, I was director of training for, it's now Verizon, for the corporation. It was called GTE then. I've worked with many, many supervisors, managers, and vice presidents. And the question is how do you get a team to grow? How do you motivate? Well, you don't motivate anybody. You create an environment where they motivate themselves. But let me give you the secret of getting growth within a congregation. Each individual grows one skill at a time. If everybody adds to the talent and the ability that they already have and learn how to utilize that factor and maybe reach out and pick up something new, when everybody starts doing it, growth just happens phenomenally. It's amazing. When everybody pulls their weight, the Lord's church will grow. I'll guarantee you the Lord's church will grow. When elders shine the light of Christ upon the flock, when individuals take the responsibility of doing the work, remember, it says in Hebrews chapter 13, obey them that rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Last point, as we get through this utilizing talents. I'm a big believer in synergy. Synergy is very simply is getting energy working together in the same direction. That's what it is. And when you get that energy moving together, that growth takes place. When synergy fails, limited growth or no growth at all occurs. When synergy fails, limited productivity within the church. Now, I know the church is not a business, but in many ways you've got to look at these things as a business. How do you get individuals to do their thing? When there is no synergy, there's crushed morale, there's decaying unity, there's anger, there's pettiness, there's conflict. And above all, there's lost souls. I've used this analogy before. I don't know how many times I was asking my wife, I said, I need to go back and look this up. It seems like that the topic that I'm asked to speak on in almost any lecture is about elders. And I've told this before, and so some of you will have heard it. Just to show you, and the message is yours. If you take one penny, and tomorrow you take in doublets, you've got two pennies. Now you're on day two. Day three, you've got four pennies. Day five, you've got eight pennies. Day six, you got 16 pennies. See the process? Now, this sounds totally amazing, but you know how much money you got after 30 days by doing the same process on through just 30 days? $5,368,709.12. But you went through 6 days and only got to 16 cents. You're saying in 30 days it got up to be $5 million? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Isn't that amazing? You all don't believe me. I can tell by looking at me. Hey, you can't do it in your head. Get your calculator at home and go figure it out. And then call me and tell me if I'm not telling you the truth. That's what synergy in the church can do. Conclusion. Faithful elders shine the light of Christ upon the flock by being qualified to serve as elders. They shine the light of Christ upon the flock by taking heed to themselves, to the church, and to the works within the church. They shine the light of Christ upon the flock by feeding the flock, getting them to feed themselves to grow, by taking oversight with a loving, gentle hand, and by developing and utilizing the talents of the flock. And I assure you, I believe with all my heart as I'm standing here, if faithful elders will do those things, they will be shining the light of Christ upon the church. Thank you.